Hello, 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 and welcome everybody to another jam-packed episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. This week we are in for a treat. Like I said, we are going to be continuing on with the We Be Like series. Last week we talked about dreaming like Martin, and this week we will be talking about leading like Harriet. This week we are going to dive deep into who Harriet Tubman was and how her leadership skills took hold of what she had to do and the impact that she made. We're also going to compare that to how things that happened in her life, strategic things. I don't think that she planned it, but I think that it was strategic from the from God above. As the scripture says, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So as we review Harriet Tubman's life, as we review some of the accomplishments, some of the accolades that she has completed, I want us to be able to do is take some of those things and be able to look at ourselves to see what type of leadership quality do we have within ourselves. I'm excited about this series. It's an 11-week series. We'd already taken care of the first week last week where we talked about dreaming like Martin. And this week I'm excited to talk about leading like Harriet. So I'm about to get on here. We're about to enjoy ourselves. I just want you to sit back, relax, enjoy, learn something, get something, grab something out of this, apply it to yourself because there's a true leader in you. So as we thank you once again for tuning in to Wonder Why with L Wonder. In this second part of We Be Like, as we discuss leading like Harriet. Thanks. Record. Hey, what's up, everybody? As you just seen, we are jumping right into our We Be Like series. We are continuing in our We Be Like series. Last week, we talked about dreaming like Martin. And this week, we are going to continue and leading like Harriet. Lead like Harriet. Yes, Harriet Tubman. We're going to talk about the life of Harriet Tubman and her leadership qualities. Oh my goodness, leadership is a huge deal to me because I feel like leadership is the place that God have me right now, whether it's leadership in my home, whether it's leadership at my job, whether it's leadership on here with my podcast. But to lead, let's get a firm foundation of what it is to lead. You, first off, to be able to lead someone, you have to have a destination that you're trying to go to. You have to understand the path that you are at and understand the place that you are at and understand the place that you are going to and make sure that you understand a clear path on how to get from point A to point B. To lead, you got to be able to understand direction. You got to be able to understand what it's going to take. You got to understand your resources. It's a lot within leadership. Everybody want to be a leadership. Everybody want to be a boss. Everybody want to be top dog. Everybody want to run a business. They want to be the CEO. But to be able to lead, to be able to guide, to be able to have that position, I mean, it's not a light task. You cannot take it lightly. It's not an easy thing. It's some weight that comes along with it. And that's where a lot of people get caught up. Everybody want to be the boss, but nobody wants to, pay the cost. Everybody want to be the boss, but nobody wants to pay the cost. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The leadership qualities in Harriet Tubman. Yes. Once again, this is our We Be Like, series. And it's going to be an 11-part series. We already completed the first one, which was a dynamic one, and we dove into the dream of Martin. And in this one, we are going to be diving into the life of Harriet Tubman and speaking on her leadership qualities. And what I hope that we can get from this today, I hope that you can see some things that went on with Harriet Tubman and how it can align itself with you. You can see some qualities. You can see some patterns in her life, and you can see some things that she had to go through, and it awakens something in yourself, and you can see, dang, I carry that same quality. I had to go through something similar. You might not have been through everything she went through. Trust me. I can almost guarantee many of us have not been through what she had to go through. But the thing about it is, it's not about going through what she been through. We got to make our own story. So make sure that as we're going through the life of Harriet Tubman, that we do not try to mimic or we do not try to imitate, but we can see some related situations that can speak to us in our situation. Because what I all overall want to do with this podcast, with this message, with these different series, is build up, encourage, push, motivate. Because guess what? We all got life that we're going through. I don't care what your story is. We all got life that we're going through. And I can almost guarantee that you got a story within you. So look, you might be the next one on my podcast. I'm looking for people to talk about their situations, their stories, and that can bring some light, that can encourage. That's what we're talking about. Okay? So let's jump right into it, talking about leading like Harriet. I'm going to just throw out random facts about Harriet Tubman, and I'm going to be going between Harriet Tubman and leadership. And I'm going to be going back and forth about these two because they are both in the same. Harriet Tubman was a leader. Harriet Tubman still leads today, because when we talk about her and her life, like we're doing on this podcast, she's still sending the significant messages and putting out information so that we can get our minds ready, so that we can, and she's encouraging us to take that next step, whether it might be out of slavery, as what she was doing. And it could be physical slavery, like back in these days, or it could be a mental slavery. It can be an emotional slavery. It can be something that got a hold on you that's preventing you from being free and stepping into the future that God has ordained for you. So let's jump right into it. Let's talk about a couple of different things about Harriet. Let's talk about some things when it comes to leadership, because we're going to tie this all together. Like I said, I hope you understand that this is a really heartfelt moment. And I really hope that you see this. You will be able to see this through this podcast. So the first thing about Harriet Tubman, I don't want to know if you knew this or not, but Harriet Tubman actually did not know her birthday. Her birthday was actually unknown. It is believed that she was born between 1819 and 1823, but she did not know her birthday. How was that significant? Because first off, like Harriet, do you realize that she do not know her birthday? She did not know her birthday, and that we can sometimes find those things in us. Sometimes there are portions of our past that we cannot identify with ourselves. Sometimes there are certain things within ourselves that we cannot pick up, that we cannot understand, that we don't even know about ourselves. And what that tends to do is what? It tends to take away the validity, or it tends to speak to us and tell us that we don't have the validity that we should have, because we don't even know certain pertinent information about ourselves. Well, let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you. That did not stop Harriet. Harriet may not have knew her birthday, but Harriet did know where she was going. She may not have known when she was born, but she did know where she was headed. Please understand and believe that. That no matter what your past is, no matter how you might not know certain things, if you don't know your father, if you don't know your mother, if you don't know your history, if you don't know your background, trust me, with the internet and everything, there's ways to get that information. But listen, if you don't know it and you cannot obtain it, do not allow that to stop you from the destination in which you are ordained to have. Okay? That's the first thing about Harriet. I don't know if you knew that fact, but she did not know. They did not know her birthday. So Harriet Tubman, and this is another fact. Harriet Tubman did not know. Harriet Tubman was not born Harriet Tubman. Her birth name was Arminta Ross. They called her nickname Minty. Arminta Ross. That was her birth name. And when she became free, and she was getting herself established as a free African-American, they asked her, what do you want your new name to be? And she chose Harriet because of her mother, and she chose Tubman because she was married while she was a slave to a free African-American. And his last name was Tubman. So her husband's last name was Tubman. Harriet came from her mother. Now let's look at that for a minute. Let's dive into that for a moment. You are given a name. You are given a name. And you become that name. Now, I hope you understand the significance of names biblically, because basically the significance of names was who you were. Abram was the father of a nation. So when God changed his name to Abraham, he named him father of many nations. Sarai was a mother. When God changed her name to Sarah, it was to signify that she's the mother of many nations. You have people biblically who are named certain things. Jacob was the deceiver. You have names are very significant, first and last names. And if you look at the history before, your last name was based off of what you did. So if you were, like I would be Lamar, and if I'm a carpenter, it'd be Lamar the Carpenter. And that's how they picked up last names at times. So what she did, she took something, and she, so to look at that significance for a moment in just that portion of what she did. She was born a slave. She was married to a free African-American. She knew her past. She didn't know everything about herself, but she knew where she came from. And she knew the quality, the strength behind her mother. So she took the strength, the characteristics, the quality, the personality of where she came from in her mother, and tied that into the character of what she did as a wife, as being married to a free African American. And that's where we came up with Harriet Tubman. That's where she came up with Harriet Tubman. So I hope you hear that. I hope you hear that, because it don't matter, because I'm gonna be honest with you. How many of y'all had people call you something that ain't your name? You ever heard that saying? Everything except the child of God. They call me everything except the child of God. See, people go put labels on you. People go put names on you. People go tell you and call you a lot of different stuff. But it's going to be up to you if you accept it. Because when you get free, like Harriet did, you're going to have to shift and not answer to what anybody want to call you, but you're going to have to tell them what you are to be called. See, some people already set up your destination. Somebody already put in your head, in your mind, that you were meant to be slave, enslaved for a lifetime. But you just like the leadership qualities in Harriet, you cannot accept that. You got to establish who you are on your own. You got to take the time and put energy and effort into establishing who you are. Listen, like I told you, this whole Lead Like Harriet, this whole We Be Like series is about to be amazing, but just getting to this leadership quality of Harriet, I ain't even gotten to the meat and potatoes of it. I haven't even gotten to in depth with it yet. I'm going there though. See, so make sure that you do not allow people to call you just anything. Make sure you do not allow people to just label you with anything and everything. And you have to be able to create who you are. It's so funny. I'll tell you this story. My son went to elementary school around the corner from our house. And you know how it is. When you normally stay in certain neighborhoods, you go to elementary with the same group of people. You go to middle school with the same group of people. You go to high school with the same group of people. That's normally how it works. So my son, what he ended up doing, he went to elementary and middle school around the corner from the house, but he went to a specialty high school. It was so crazy because him going to this specialty high school, and at first I didn't understand it, but it's so funny how God will teach you certain things through your children. My son went to this high school and he totally reinvented himself. he totally reinvented himself because he wasn't around the same friends that he had before. He wasn't around the same group of people. As a matter of fact, the teachers was different. The students were different. It was a whole different atmosphere. So he reinvented himself being in the atmosphere that he was in. Because from this atmosphere, it was going to be the atmosphere that was going to propel him into his now adulthood. It was going to build up a reputation. So he had a chance to reinvent himself into what he wanted to be, what he chose to be, how he wanted to direct himself. Now, he had a chance to reinvent himself, but if he carried on those same qualities that he was carrying on in elementary school or in middle school, it wouldn't have made a difference. But when he went to high school, and I often antagonize him because I'm like, be yourself. But then I had to realize it was more about be yourself and who you want to be. What is yourself in your heart? So just like Harriet, just like LJ, sometimes we have to reinvent ourselves. We have to really take time to get to know ourselves, because that's the first thing. Sometimes we don't even know ourselves. But as a leader, we have to get to know who we are, what we're about. If there's things about ourselves that we don't like, there's only one thing that we can do. Change it. Well, there's two things we can do. We can either accept it or change it. So make sure that you don't allow, just like with Harriet, make sure you don't allow anybody to just call you any and everything. Now, Harriet had a couple other names as well. You know, she was known as General Tubman. And now we will get into why she was known as General. There's a couple different reasons why she was known as General. Mainly because when she got free, she met John Brown Harper, and she helped him with his ferry raid. So basically, and I'll be honest with you, I've watched the movie Harriet. If you can, please go watch the movie Harriet. That is an amazing movie. It taught me so much. And then when I started looking at facts, it lined itself up with the same facts. Oh my goodness, that was an amazing movie. Please go look that up. If you can, if you got the time to watch it, please go watch it. So what else did went on? Harriet, so she was called the General. She was also nicknamed Moses because of how she came. And now, okay, let's get into more qualities of leadership, because I don't want to get off task. So this is another fact. Did you know that Harriet had 8 siblings? Did you know she had 8 siblings? And Harriet was, and this is a leadership quality as well, with those 8 siblings. Now, remember I said Harriet was born around 1819 and 1823. So her siblings range from 1808 to 1811, 1813, 1816, 1825, 1830, 1832. So she was in the middle of her siblings. Did you know that it was her accountability for her family, for her husband initially, for her mother and father, and for her siblings, that she had to go back? That's why she was free. Think about this. She ran, she got away, she was free. But she said, I cannot leave my family. See, the leadership quality that Harriet carried was accountability. She wasn't accountable to them. They wasn't asking her to do this stuff. It was accountability within Harriet. It was accountability within herself. She had accountability within herself. She had an integrity about herself. She had accountability within herself to make sure that she could not leave her family behind. And doing that, you know, in 10 years conducting the Underground Railroad, she made 19 trips and guided her parents, her siblings, relatives, and friends for a total of around 300 slaves. Some was guided by her, but others follow her instruction. So she personally had freed, I mean, she personally had an impact on freeing 300 slaves because of her accountability and because of her integrity. Accountability, doing what you know is right, doing what is on your heart to do, making sure that you don't have an excuse. And integrity, doing what's right, both legally and morally. That's the Army Corps value, integrity. Doing what's right, even when ain't nobody looking at you. Even when don't nobody know that that's what you're doing. That's that leadership quality, like Harriet. I hope y'all getting some good stuff out here, because I'm telling you, this is some real good teaching right now. This is some real good information. I'm giving it to you just like I'm getting it. So listen, let me tell you something else about Harriet. I don't know if you knew this or not, but did you know that when Harriet was a teenager, she suffered a head injury when an overseer, now peep this, she suffered a major head injury when an overseer threw a heavy metal at a runaway slave and instead hit her in the head. Peep that for a minute. I hope you hear what's going on. Harriet Tubman got knocked upside the head by a huge, it don't even say what type, it don't even say what it was, but a huge heavy piece of metal that an overseer threw at another runaway slave, and she just so happened to be in the way, getting away and getting knocked upside the head. Let me tell you, and this was not just an insignificant injury. This was not just a bump on the head. Peep this. As a result of the injury, she suffered from sleeping spells. She would suddenly fall asleep, and it was difficult for her to wake up. Please, first off, let's touch that first base. Let's touch that first part. Do you realize that certain things happened to you and it wasn't even meant for you? That's what I get from that. This is the leadership qualities that this is the leadership things that I'm understanding from this story about leading like Harriet. There are certain things that happened to you that wasn't even intended for you. See, this is why I'm really passionate about that scripture, my favorite verse. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That means that even when you ain't even, when it ain't got nothing to do with you, God will use some things that the enemy is attacking somebody else with, and you just so happen to be in a way. And he will still use that thing to take you to your destiny. What do I mean, take you to your destiny? Because peep this about Harriet. It caused her to have sleep spells where it was hard for her to wake up. But the thing about it is, in that sleeping, it gave her visions and dreams that she considered to be signs from God. Now peep this, she got knocked upside the head, okay? Which made her have sleep spells. But during those sleep spells, she had visions from God, which helped her in how she maneuvered when it came to her freeing certain slaves. Do you realize that in the midst of her freeing slaves, she got to run back and forth all these hundreds of miles from the south to the north, then eventually crossing over to Canada. She had to run, go take these slaves back and forth all these miles, and she got sleep spells. But at the most opportune times when she fell into sleep spells, and this is a great example of this on that movie, Harriet. She fell asleep. They had a plan for her to get captured one way. But when she went into that sleep, when she fell asleep, God showed her that it going that way, it was going to be a problem. So you need to go this way. Let me tell you something. If you are connected to the source, and I repeat myself, not because I'm stuttering, but I repeat myself because it's very important that you understand this fact, that when you are connected to the source, that even what seems to be problems or issues is going to be ways to get through where you need to get through, to avoid other problems or issues, to avoid the worst case scenarios. So make sure that you understand and give praise and give and glorify him on a consistent basis. Why? Because even what the enemy is going to cause for your destruction, God will allow you to take that and produce that leadership quality within yourself. which I'm pretty sure that that produced a huge quality in Harriet. Humility. That's another quality that as a leader we have to have. Humility. Like I said, I'm gonna bounce back and forth, but it's gonna all come together. It's all coming together. You can feel it. Humility. Make sure that you are carrying, to make sure that you are humbling yourself. Listen, I'm a prime example. If you do not humble yourself, God will humble you for you. It's necessary. Paul said it himself. He said, I can brag on these things. I can brag on that thing. I can brag on a bunch of different stuff about myself. But there's this thorn in my flesh that I just can't get rid of. If I can only get rid of this, I will be on point. And as he prayed about it, he said, he prayed, God, I just take this away from me. Just take this thorn out of my flesh. And God responded to him, my grace is sufficient. I need you to understand and appreciate the value of that thorn in your flesh, because that thorn being in your flesh is what keeps your head from being all the way up here and keep you guided, keep you grounded, keep you focused, so that you don't think that it's all about you. Now, yes, you're doing great things through Christ. But remember the source. That's the reason why we're doing it. So please, that humility is a leadership quality that we all need. Listen, as a husband, as a father, I think I'm really good at what I do as a husband, as a father, and in my job. But one thing I know as fast as it got built up, just as fast as I'm doing good, it could be taken away from me just that fast. So please keep that humility in mind, because that humility is what's going to keep you grounded. That humility is what's going to keep you focused. That humility is what's going to keep you, your eyes on a prize, and not allow you to step out of place, because that pride, just like it says, pride comes before destruction. So I hope you're getting something real good out of this. I am not trying to turn this series into a preaching series, but I just want to really be, I'm going to be honest with you. Like I said, I'm unapologetic about certain things, and I will never hold my tongue when it comes to talking about the greatness of God, when it talks about who he is. And I'm not saying this because of what I think. I'm not even saying this just because of what I read. I'm saying this because of what I've experienced and what I've seen personally, and how it lines up with what I read. Okay? I hope you understand. We're getting some good stuff today. We're talking about some heat when it comes to leading like Harriet. Harriet was a true example of what a leader was. Okay? It said in 1844, she married John Tubman, a free African-American. After Harriet escaped, she came back for him, but he had married another woman. Peep that. Oh yeah, you ain't know that. Did you know? I'm not gonna assume that you didn't know, but did you know that? Could you imagine that for a minute? She went to be free. And one of the main reasons why she came back was to free her, was to get her husband. But when she came back, he married another woman. He was already married to another woman. I'm gonna be honest. See, sometimes your passion, your drive, your desire, what does that say? Oh my goodness, it says a lot. Sometimes what motivates you is going to be the same thing that's going to hurt you or break your heart. But then that's when God is going to shift your motivation. Because from there, her initial motivation was her husband, coming back to get her husband. That was her first and foremost thing that got motivated, that put it on her heart to go ahead and come back and free these slaves. But that motivation that she had being her husband, when she came back and he was already married again, her motivation shifted to her, to the rest of her family. And it impacted so many more things. Sometimes you got a motivation, and I'm gonna be honest with you. What does that mean? You know, we lose certain things. We lose certain people. We talked about this before in the podcast about moving forward. So if you haven't listened to that, please go back and listen to the three-part series of moving forward. maybe it's two or three parts. But sometimes your focus, sometimes your motivation, sometimes what you think is supposed to be yours could show you that it's not God. It could go away. And that's just real. Nobody talks about leadership as being a perfect situation. Ask any leader, whether it's the manager that you had when you first start working at the fast food restaurant, or it's a boss at the big Fortune 500 company, or it's a CEO that you might listen to his podcast, or somebody on CNN, or the president, or whatever the case may be. Ask any leader, and I'll guarantee they go tell you it ain't nothing coming easy. Nothing's coming easy. But in saying that, a leader, one leadership quality that you always have to make sure that you understand and grasp is the quality of adaptability. You got to be adaptable as a leader. You have to be adaptable as a leader. You got to be able to adjust. You have to be able to change. You have to be able to shift. You got to know when to stay focused on one task, when to spend a little bit of extra time, even if it ain't going that way. Okay, I got to try this out. I got to keep on this path. But you also have to know when to shift to a different direction. Okay. Another thing that it showed another thing about a leader. A leader has to be emotionally intelligent. They have to have emotional intelligence. What does that mean? We are human. And I believe that God gave us all of our emotions to make us, one of the biggest and best parts of being human. We're able to love, we're able to smile, we're able to be happy, we're able to have joy, but we also able to be sad. We're able to be hurt. Our feelings are able to be hurt. One can't go with the other, just like light and dark. Yes, without light, without dark, you wouldn't understand light, okay? So it's the same way with the good and the bad, the happy emotions and the negative emotions. But the emotional intelligence allows us to be able, not always control your emotions, but be aware of how your emotions are impacted by the situation at hand. I hope y'all really getting something out of this, because I'm telling you, I see how this is flowing, and I'm really proud, and I'm really appreciative. But the emotional intelligence, you got to be able to understand how you feeling with what you're going through. You got to be aware, very aware. And that comes to a place where, like I said, that's a huge maturity level, a huge place of maturity. You got to be aware of where you're at during the circumstance, during the situation. Could you have imagined what Harriet Tubman may have been feeling like? She got freed. This dude is already a free African-American. She ran for freedom. She was worried about him to the point she wanted to be with her husband. So that was the motivation of her coming back. And when she got back, she realized, she come to learn that her husband was married to another woman, not just married to another woman, but they had a child. Or she was pregnant. I can't remember if she was pregnant or if she had a child. Don't quote me on those, but I know that there was a child about to be born. If not born, there was a child about to be born. So could you imagine the huge blow to her? I'm pretty sure. I don't care how strong Harriet Tubman was. I'm pretty sure that hurt her feelings like nobody's business. Like, that was probably one of the biggest blows to her ever up to that point. And she'd been through slavery. That was probably one of the biggest emotional blows to her. But she still had to have the wherewithal to deal with that, but also stay focused. Like my Uncle Mon says, rule number one, stay focused. That's rule number one, uncle. That's the truth. That's the number one rule. Stay focused. She had to have the wherewithal to address her emotions enough. First off, she had to understand her emotions. And then she had to be able to shift to get back in line and get back on task. Leadership ain't no easy thing. You go through some stuff. You go deal with some stuff. You go experience some stuff. But one thing I can honestly tell you, that whatever you're going through, it's there for a reason. It might be there to try to distract you or throw you off or whatever the case may be, but you got to identify who you are and where you are and where your emotions are sitting, so that you can redirect your emotions to take care of the business necessary. What do I mean? I'm gonna be honest. I don't have a problem with talking about me. I don't have a problem with talking about myself. Y'all know that I lost my first wife to cancer, that Sharia passed away from cancer. At the time that I was going through that, I'm watching her and I can't help her. So that's one of the hardest things that I had to deal with, watching somebody I love, someone I had plans with, somebody that we had big time plans. We talked about what it was going to be like when we grow old together. We talked about all the stuff. We talking about, okay, this is what we want to travel next year. This is what we want to do. All types of stuff. So to watch her and how the cancer was deteriorating her, and I can't do anything but watch it. As a man, that's a hurtful place. Because a man, I want to be able to protect and take care of my household. At the same time, I have children that I have to take care of. All three of my children. And at the time, my son was 12, my daughter was 10, and my youngest daughter was 2. So when everything was finally coming to a head and she passed away, I had so many emotions that I was dealing with myself. So now, and the person who I marry is no longer here. The person who I plan to live the rest of my life with is no longer here. We was dependent on both of our incomes. So now what? How am I going to take care of things financially? It was so many things. She's the one who organized the bills. How am I going to take care of that? She's the one who cooked the food. How am I going to take care of that? She's the one who makes sure that the kids appointments are taken care of. She's making sure that these things are taken, that take that. She's taking care. She's making sure the house is put together. Those are things that not only am I dealing with the emotions of losing a loved one, but now I'm also dealing with the emotions of, now what am I going to do? So I had to, and I think, I'm so thankful, because I'm gonna be honest with you. How did I get through that? It was only through the prayers. It was only through prayers of other people. And it was because of the relationship that I had with Christ. That's how I really got through it. See, I really had to depend on my relationship with Christ. It was not, you know, God gave me that peace that the scriptures talk about, that surpassed understanding. So yes, that's how I got through it. That's how I dealt with it. But I had to be emotionally intelligent. First, aware of my emotions, then intellectually about how I guide my emotions. I didn't have time to allow my emotions to get the best of me at that time, because I got 3 children who's looking at me, who's trying to figure out, okay, they're going through their own emotional stuff. And trust me, the thing that you might not have known, that you might not have thought about, when my children lost their mother, my children became more aware of where I was at, because they're like, we already lost one parent. So now what do we got to do to make sure dad is good? My children became so concerned with who I was and where I was at and what's going on with me, that it was another stress on them. So I had to deal with not being able to work with them so that they won't be stressed out worrying about me. Yeah, it was everywhere. Now, I'm not trying to make this about me, because I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Harriet. But at the same time, I can, like I said, there's certain things that is going on that have went on with Harriet Tubman that we can see in our lives, that we have to stay strong and carry the same leadership qualities that Harriet Tubman had. I hope you understand what's being said here. Now, this is the last thing that I'm going to talk about. Now, I can continue going on and on and on and on when it comes to Harriet Tubman, when it comes to leadership quality, because it's just so much to unpack. I can really just keep on going. But one of the last points that I want to bring up when it comes to Harriet and leading like Harriet, it says she usually worked during winter months to avoid being seen, and on Saturday nights, because newspapers would publish runaway notices on Monday morning. So the thing that Harriet did, see, Harriet carried these qualities as a leader. She had a decision, a strong decision-making capabilities. She was creative and innovative. And she had vision and purpose. So as the leader, make sure that you stay in focus. Make sure that you have clear vision. Make sure that you are connected to a source that can direct you. Make sure that, because for me, I'm going to be honest with you, my source is Christ. That's me. I'm not pushing that off on any and everybody. I know why I feel that way, and I'm not going to ever be apologetic about it. You got to be able to shift when you need to. You got to have vision. You got to have purpose. Like with her, she was very strategic. She understood her mission. So understanding her mission, she understood what she had to do. She understood things that came, trials and tribulations that would come along with it. She understood challenges that would come along with it. Harriet carried a piece. I don't know if you knew that or not, but yeah, Harriet carried a handgun. She carried a weapon for protection. She had to protect herself. So she knew the type of danger. Now, she wasn't foolish. She was aware. She was fully aware of the danger. So as a leader, make sure you understand your mission. Make sure you understand your purpose. Make sure you have clear vision. Make sure that you not just like we talked about, don't let nobody call you out. Don't let nobody call you anything that you are not. But you establish who you are. You establish your personality. If you want to be honest, you know what? It's going to be hard, but you got to put your foot forward to be the most honest person you can be. If you want to have integrity, it's your choice to do what's right when ain't nobody watching. That's a choice. She inspired others. She gave them hope. She was very confident. You know the type of confidence that it takes to have that head injury, which puts you to sleep at random times, hard to wake you up, and then to get up and say, okay, God spoke to me and showed me visions, and this is what we need to do. That's a huge deal. So you got to have confidence in who you are and what is in your heart. Commitment and passion. Don't let nobody tell you that, because I guarantee Harriet was told no, and you shouldn't do this so many more times. Then she heard, okay, go ahead. her decision-making capabilities, her accountability, the delegation, empowerment. She empowered other people as well. Not only was Harriet doing her thing, but Harriet also encouraged and empowered other people so that they can, just like I said, from what she did, there was 300 slaves directly and indirectly, but based off of her guidance. So we talked about dreaming like Martin. And today we spoke on leading like Harriet. Now, why am I putting this out here on a Saturday? Because I know Valentine's Day is tomorrow. So I understand, you know, first off, I got plans. I always want to be aware of my circumstance. I always want to be aware of my situation, just like Harriet was. You understand? People gonna be busy tomorrow. Just like last week, people was busy with the Super Bowl. That's why I had to get it out there earlier. But I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this podcast, to watch this on Facebook, whether you're watching on Facebook, whether you're listening to it on Apple Podcasts, on Google, on Spotify, wherever you're listening to this at. Thank you for the time. Make sure that you send somebody out. Make sure that you suggest this to, if you like what you heard, make sure you suggest it to other people. If it's worth anything, I'm gonna give you my email address. You go ahead and email me anything that you like about it. That is lwonder821@gmail.com. If you want to send me a comment, like I said, lwonder821@gmail.com. lwonder821@gmail.com. If you want to send me a comment, if you got any suggestions, if you just let me know what you think about it, any of that information, lwonder821@gmail.com. And like I said, we are going to continue this series next week. Oh, I'm really excited about next week. I'm really, really excited about next week, just like I was excited about this week, just like I'm going to continue to be excited about what's going on. Because next week, we talking about fighting like Malcolm. You know, right now, it's already a lot of stuff in the news about fighting and fighting and fighting, but we're going to talk about fighting like Malcolm. Once again, thank you again for tuning in to Wonder Why with L Wonder. I'm your man. I'm the host, L Wonder. And this has been part two of We Be Like, and we talked about leading like Harriet. Next week is going to be part three, and we're going to talk about fight like Malcolm. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you talk. Make sure you suggest it. If you like what you heard today, make sure you put this out here. Make sure you suggest it to people, because we are going to really honor the people on this list for Black History Month. I really hope that it's coming off the way that I meant it. I thank you again for listening. Tune in next week for Fight Like Malcolm. It's your boy L Wonder, and I'm out. Wonder out.